Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 54. Ben Stark of Wondermill Films. Ben Flanagan of Aspect Radio.
How are you today, Ben?
Ben, I am great. How are you?
I was great. There's been a lot of, in the history of humanity, there have been a lot of bad things said. There have also been some bad things written or typed. I maybe could conjure a list of you know, the atrocious things that people have written, hate speech and things like that in the past. But I won't do that for fear of, you know, mitigating those things. But one of, you know, somewhere on that list, I'm not saying it has to be super high, but somewhere on that list might be a quote that I read this morning on slashfilm.com that described the recently announced Die Hard 6, Die Hard Year 1 kind of reboot, a prequel that would feature Bruce Willis as John McClane in book-ending sequences for a prequel story. That story was described by, I think, a producer on the film as a look at how John McClane was a diehard kind of guy before the events of Die Hard, the film directed by John McTiernan, released in 1988. The phrase John McClane being a diehard kind of guy, and the idea that that was kind of, that is a character, I guess a character trait that he kind of carries around. That idea is infuriating, and that phrase sounds like the most obnoxious kind of studio exec speech that I've heard maybe ever. Am I off base here?
Well, let's reserve judgment, right, until we see the finished product of whatever it is they've got in their head to make in the Die Hard quote-unquote universe, but that statement in particular can die in a fire.
Yeah, that statement needs to be a good day for that statement to die hard. If I'm going to combine the two, so far the
worst
things about the franchise.
It got whoever came up with a good day to die hard. It got them off easy.
Absolutely, yeah. It is probably the same person. It was probably the same person that came up with that title and that that phrase. So just in general, that's kind of been on my mind most of today. I think I saw kind of rumors about it early this morning, and it didn't really, we're always hearing about new Die Hard sequels, but now it seems like Len Wiseman, who directed Live Free or Die Hard, as well as the Underworld series and the Total Recall remake, seems like he's kind of heading this project up. And it is going to take place in New York in 1979, and basically in the style of young Indiana Jones adventures, old man John McClane, played by Bruce Willis, is going to be kind of dictating these stories of his younger self, which again begs the, a refrain that we unfortunately took up a lot during the discussion of the recent announced Han Solo movie. They're recasting John McClane, right? They have to.
Yeah. I mean, these projects are, like you said, they can be infuriating when you just read a sentence like that or you just hear that they're happening on paper. So, like, when I hear they're recasting John McClane or they're making a Die Hard prequel about John McClane, about what it is you just described, then I think, well, this project can just kiss my ass, you know? Seriously, that's just the first feeling that goes through my head and my body. But yeah, like we, you know, as your good friend Jeremy Burgess and collaborator said on Twitter about this and these kinds of projects, we're just kind of living in a prequel world right now, and we just kind of have to deal with it. And as fans of movies, it's just a reality that has become a part of our lives. And we have to endure what these studios come up with, and how they like to sort of deface the values and characters and stories that we grew up with and grew to love, in hopes that we'll buy a ticket to see it and whatever sequel or prequel they throw at us next. And it's just a shame that they keep taking properties like Die Hard and others that we love and wasting our time with it, because as you've noted before, prequels just rarely work out. And if you're going to do something and you're going to stay in a universe and you're going to use a pre-existing property like that, then opt for a sequel or a remake instead and take your chances there. Because prequels, in my experience, I mean, there are a very small handful that have worked out. They just tend to suck and be, or if they don't suck, they're just kind of these empty experiences that do become wastes of time for everybody and wastes of millions of dollars for that matter.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because over the past few years, I feel like I've grown into something that I used to really dislike, which is this person that when I hear about these projects, I used to be hopelessly optimistic about them. I was optimistic and still am about Indiana Jones and Indiana Jones sequel. I liked Terminator 3 when it came out, and I still kind of like that movie, and I was open to these things. I was open to saying, okay, look, here's something good and special that everybody loves. Again, like Jeremy noted, we're living in a branded environment, you know, where if something is popular, it's going to keep going. And I can live with that. But it's becoming increasingly that when I hear about these things, my arms are folded as soon as I hear them, and it's really hard to have any sort of optimism for these things at this point. And I think in this case, that what really bothers me is the fact that they're trying to create this continuity with Die Hard, and they're trying to, well, first of all, they use the word gritty in that same pull quote, which again is just, I mean, that's just the worst. And what they're doing is telling a story about John McClane, and I think I don't even know why I'm stammering about it, because Devin Faraci put it really well on Birth, Movies, Death in his write-up about this, is that for the best way that Die Hard works, the original John McTiernan movie, is that up to that point, John McClane had a fairly uneventful and boring life. And you know that they're not going to make a prequel that is uneventful and boring. If this is going to be John McClane saving the universe from collapsing in on itself, it's not going to be him busting a local drug dealer or something like that. He's probably going to meet a Gruber in this movie. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, you know, Simon Gruber is casing a bank or something like that, and he doesn't realize that he's bumped into John McClane. I mean, that seems like the exact kind of thing that happens in these kind of desperate grasps at extended universe franchise movies. And it's just the worst. And then on top of that, you think about it, you've got to recast John McClane. They're doing it. They have to do that. And they're recasting an actor who's got to play, what, 4 years younger than what than what Bruce Willis played in Die Hard, or I guess technically 9 years. But, you know, how old were we assuming that he was in 1988? It's all just very, very frustrating as a huge fan. I mean, who isn't a fan of Die Hard? And I know, I'm in the minority of liking not just one, but several of the Die Hard sequels. In fact, I think all of them are really good except for that last one. And I think you're pretty vocal in saying that Live Free or Die Hard is a fine action movie, but a departure from the Die Hard universe. And I think I have to kind of give you that point, considering where it's gone.
Yeah, Part 4 is not a Die Hard movie. I mean, I think you could just look at it, and just in terms of look, tone, and just overall non-adherence to what came before it in the three previous films, it's just a total outlier. It's like an answer on an SAT question. You know, you've got four choices. Which one of these doesn't belong? And it's pretty clear as day. You're going to get that one right. And before we hate ourselves and go ahead and cast John McClane or just predict how that's going to work, let's go back to what you were saying about, and you said this on Twitter too, and we should note it here, just about why prequels are a problem. And especially in this case too, and how you mentioned we're going backwards and we're finding John McClane to be something more extraordinary than he was at the beginning of Die Hard. And see, that's the thing with these prequels, is that they screw with the mythology that something great created initially, right? And you're screwing with the mythology of John McClane in this universe, because what is John McClane at the beginning of Die Hard? Like you said, his life seemed kind of boring, and he was just a New York cop. He was an everyman, right? And he was an everyman thrown into this just extraordinary situation where he had to improvise and use his personal skills, and he had to rise to the occasion and set out on this particular adventure. Now, you are completely compromising the integrity of that character and that mythology that you created with the first movie by going back and basically suggesting that this is how he's always been, and this is how he would always respond to these situations because he's done it before, right?
Right.
I, at least, as I was watching the first Die Hard movie, thought, this is a guy who's never been in a situation like this, and this is the only way that he could think to react to it and act in as deadly and high stakes a situation as possible. So I just think that it's kind of an insult to the character, which is a really important word here, that was, you know, seemingly living flesh and blood, and yet that happens to be true in the case of Bruce Willis way back in the late 80s, maybe not now, but a guy that you believe to be just flesh and blood on screen. John McClane, he's one of my favorite movie characters ever, personally.
Oh, yeah.
I hate to see the character reduced to what I'm guessing they're going to reduce him to, and what they have kind of in the last two Die Hard movies. So that, to me, is the biggest problem, the biggest fundamental problem when it comes to prequels and when it comes to this character specifically.
Yeah, I mean, and it's something where the second movie was aware of that and made a joke about it. You know, I mean, he even says in that movie, like, how can basically the same thing happen to the same guy twice? And it's played for a joke, and they do their best to justify it in that movie. In the third movie, it's brilliant. That movie is, I think, underrated. Die Hard with a Vengeance. The villain actually targets John McClane because he knows about his past, and he's using him as a distraction for this plot. He's trying to make it look like, you know, he's creating some sort of pattern, but it's not. It's all a smokescreen so that he can be the petty thief that he actually is. That's brilliant. That's not just a brilliant turn on the original movie. That's a brilliant screenwriting trick to kind of comment on the sequel itself, which is, you know, hey, here's this big pattern that's being set up. Oh, no, it's just a big action movie. Have fun. The fourth movie, you know, it by the end, it definitely departs from that because he's doing things that
McClane's super cop.
Yeah, he's doing things that no physical human being could ever do. But at the beginning of the movie, and the arc of that movie is more interesting because there's a bitterness to him there where he's like, well, remember I did those things at one time, and now I'm escorting this runt kid, you know, to this place. So there's a bitterness there that. Maybe I'm reading the bitterness in as a character thing, or maybe that's just what Bruce Willis can play these days. But in this last one, there's no irony, there's no character, there's nothing going on in that film. It's just a nightmare, and it seems like that's the path that they're going to keep going down. They're now seeing this guy as this superhero whose superpower is to attract very large crime problems, I guess, and then survive action scenes against all odds, which, you know, eventually it's a, you know, the law of diminishing returns says that every time you see this guy survive an increasingly complex action scene, it is less impressive because he's apparently less vulnerable. But like you said, like Jeremy said, we live in a environment where this is going to happen, and it seems like there are ways for franchises to extend themselves that are less offensive and harmful to the original source material as this. I mean, if you look at what the Ryan Coogler movie Creed seems to be doing that's coming out later this year, I think that's a really brilliant way to keep your Rocky franchise going by basically training up the next generation of young boxers and looking at what the sport of boxing looks like right now, and then using your original hero as a supporting character. I guess some could argue that that's what they tried to do with The Good Day to Die Hard, but, you know, Jai Courtney.
Fail.
Yeah. And not to harp on him, but also the script did nothing to ingratiate us to the John McClane son character. He has nothing, you know, there's nothing interesting about him. He's, in fact, a super spy. So there's none of the humility that you get with the John McClane character. There's nothing there. But what I'm saying is that, look, well, I guess another good example would be like Rise of the Planet of the Apes or Casino Royale, but those were clean reboots, and I guess I would rather see that. I'd rather see them do a completely new Die Hard movie that basically retells the first movie. Oh, God, this is what they've driven me to, is to say that I'm totally okay with a Die Hard reboot by presenting me with a worst case.
Well, yeah, but even
scenario.
Even with the Die Hard reboot, you're recasting John McClane, you know?
Yeah.
And you run into that problem again. And like what you're talking about too, and I know that you like this movie, but I think you can admit we kind of dodged a bullet with Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, right? The Indiana Jones movie, which was supposedly trying to set up a franchise within Indiana Jones with this mutt character played by Shia LaBeouf, and thank God that didn't work out, even though that movie was financially successful.
Well, one of the brilliant things about that movie is that Spielberg totally suggests that and then basically gives the cinematic equivalent of a stone-cold stunner to Shia LaBeouf by having
Harrison Ford hat
away. Yeah, that's brilliant.
Well, yeah, was it not reported and suggested though?
Oh,
like,
sure. Yeah,
that
movie
came out that there could be a mutt franchise in order.
They could have totally done that. Even afterwards, they could have done that. But again, that's just one of the things I like about that movie is that it, for better or worse, it kind of shot that idea in the foot. You know, even if that's what that movie wanted, you can tell inside that's not what the movie wanted, and that's something I like about it. But yes, that seems to be the direction that they were wanting to go with Die Hard.
So, other than Chris Pratt, who should play young John McClane again?
Well, again, if we're going down the clean reboot, and, you know, I might have a pitch for this. Who knows, in my head? who knows? I think that a not horrible choice might actually be, speaking of Jurassic World, might actually be Jake Johnson, who is a guy that plays humble well. He is, he seems like he's not a, you know, supermodel. You know, he seems like he could be kind of an everyman. But
yeah, you know, I like that pick, but as long as it's not Colin Trevorrow directing and Jake Johnson's not wearing a Die Hard logo t-shirt talking about how great the first movie was.
Yeah.
Or how great the original Nakatomi hostage crisis was, you know?
Yeah.
That was a real hostage crisis, guys.
Well, I mean, who would you go with?
I like that pick. I think as soon as you said that, I was like, okay, fine.
But, yeah, of who is available, I mean, I feel like that's the closest we're going to get to, because they just don't make them like they made Bruce Willis. You know, if you look at Bruce Willis in 1988 and Die Hard, and the screen presence that he has, it's just staggering, and the natural energy that he has, it's very similar to Harrison Ford in 1981. It's just so hard to bottle. You don't see very often. Say again?
Yeah, I said charisma. Like Jeff Johnson, he has that. But you know, I hadn't watched Moonlighting or I hadn't seen Blind Date before I saw Die Hard for the first time. So I don't know that I could or couldn't take Bruce Willis seriously going into a big action movie like that. But that being said, there's so much comedy in Die Hard that you need somebody who has that kind of versatility, who can carry and shoot the gun and can also pull off the one-liners the way that he could. And yes, that was a unique charisma and versatility that he brought, and it's hard to find people like that now. And yes, there are the Chris Pratts out there, and yes, Jake Johnson is a guy who has that kind of potential. I just hate that it's being wasted in reboots like this. I just wish that these guys who are as talented as those two and others are would get their own projects moving forward, and that they would be remembered for playing characters that were specific to them.
Also, I think that Jake Johnson is older than John McClane was in 1988's Die Hard. And this, you know, I guess if we're talking about reboot, but I keep kind of gravitating back towards the real life, which is who are they going to cast in this thing? I mean, who is a 20-year-old actor who is, you know, has the charisma of Bruce Willis and kind of, hold on, sorry. My dog is welcoming.
They're not going to do that, though. They're going to say, is the kid from Hugo 20 yet? You know, like, that's what they're going to do.
Right.
Is Logan Lerman, does he have the look?
Man. Yeah, he does. Yeah, that's, well, it's, yeah, exactly. It's the Spider-Man conversation. It's the Han Solo. Hey, who's a white kid that seems kind of cool? You know, Miles Teller.
It's going to be Liam Hemsworth, man. It's going to be, he looks good in a tank top and bare feet.
Yeah, yeah, we'll shave his head and make it look like he kind of has a receding hairline. So that kind of, that's one thing that I always, this may be where Die Hard totally went off the rails. Again, I like Live Free or Die Hard, but when I first saw the trailer for that, I noticed that here in that movie, we've got this John McClane that wears a cool guy leather jacket.
Yeah.
And has a shaved head. But the last time we left him, he had the receding hairline. He was an alcoholic, basically.
Yeah, he was wearing a wife beater and whatever short sleeve button down shirt he could button twice and walk out of the house in, you know?
Right, yeah.
Like people in that movie Hangover.
People talk about in that movie how bad he looks. And I feel like in Live Free or Die Hard, we had a Bruce Willis that wasn't willing to make himself look bad. You know, he had to kind of look cool, and he had to, I feel like the way John McClane should have looked at that point is the way that Bruce Willis looks in Moonrise Kingdom, you know, maybe with like a beer gut at this point. But you're not,
they bought into the hype, man. Like Bruce Willis and the people who make Die Hard movies, they just buy into the hype and legend of John McClane now, instead of sticking to the guns of what made that character so great, which you illustrated earlier. You know, like
humility. Humility.
Humility and vulnerability. You know, like I don't know that I'm going to go this far here, but I think Die Hard with a Vengeance is arguably the best Die Hard movie. It's really that good. And I would probably still go with Die Hard, the first Die Hard movie, as being the best Die Hard movie and one of the greatest action movies ever. But I just want to speak to the level of quality that, like you mentioned, the script of Die Hard with a Vengeance really brings to the table. And it's just, not only, I mean, it's one of the best, I think it's one of the best action movies ever. It's one of the best movies about New York. and it's one of Bruce Willis's best performances, because he really, more so than what Rennie Harlan did in part two, he really just sinks back into the John McClane character and the vulnerability that you were talking about so much better in Die Hard with a Vengeance than he did in part two. Like, I'm sorry, like that to me is John McClane in With a Vengeance.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And he's such a, you know, he allows himself to be a ugly character in that movie. You know, like we said, he's an alcoholic. He's petty.
A jerk.
Yeah, he's just this big jerk. And that kind of gets him several times in the movie. And, I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with John McTiernan, too. I think the script needs to be to a certain level. At that point, John McTiernan was kind of, you know, I mean, he was coming off of Last Action Hero, but he was still one of the bigger directors in Hollywood for these kind of projects. And I think it was a lot to get him. Yeah, he's back
for house arrest.
He's definitely, he's free, but I don't think he's doing well in health. So, I think he was actually putting together a movie, but I'm not sure if that's still happening.
John McTiernan? Would you make the phone call
to ask him to do this prequel?
Yeah.
Or just as a fan. You're asking if I would go do that this afternoon. To make a... No. I would not.
Leave him alone?
Yeah, I feel like... Well, then again, he does have something to prove. So, yeah, maybe that's the only way to do this, is to say, you know, put it all on John McTiernan's desk. But then again, the guy hasn't made a movie in a long time, and the last movie he made was Rollerball. So maybe he needs a few buffer movies before he saves the Die Hard franchise. These are all the things I'm afraid of here with what we're getting. I don't think Len Wiseman is a bad director. Like I said, I like Live Free or Die Hard, but I don't know if he's the best match for this franchise. And I don't feel like all of these variables are pointing to anything that's going to be very positive. I mean, again, you've got a, and you wonder, like, did they talk about a reboot and then they just called Bruce Willis to tell him and then chickened out at the last minute when they realized he was going to be grumpy if he didn't get paid? So they reworked it into a prequel so that he could be in it. That's kind of my conspiracy theorist expectation for that.
I just, you know, whoever they cast, I hope they don't do, like, Looper makeup on them like they did Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you know?
Ugh. Well, is Joseph Gordon-Levitt a bad casting choice? I mean, again, I think he's older now than...
Yes. No, he's not John McClane. No.
Yeah.
No.
But then nobody is, right? I mean, there's literally...
No, that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing. When you said Jake Johnson, I was like, okay, like, I like Jake Johnson, and the mold is similar, but I hate for Jake Johnson that he would have to do that, you know? Like,
right.
I don't know, you're kind of like stunting his growth as a potential movie star, right? By putting these expectations on his shoulders. And maybe he could deliver, and maybe we would love the movie, but I would just hate to go in that direction, you know?
But if you're Jake Johnson, are you really willing to sit around and spend your 30s waiting on somebody to write Han Solo for you? Like, to write an original hero part for you, to be the leading man that you know you can be?
Well,
no, you're
no because that's just not Hollywood now.
Right, exactly. Well, all right, so I'm just going to go full on as we close here and say that if we're looking at the worst-case scenario, we're looking at a Die Hard prequel set in 1979. It's dark, it's gritty. Let's say it's got, like, a bunch of CGI explosions.
Check.
It's directed by Len Wiseman, which isn't, again, necessarily a worst-case scenario, but
it's cloaked in blue and gray,
right?
Filters.
Yep. You've got, I'm trying to think who would, who was, the Maze Runner kid. There's your John McClane.
Die Hard Scorch Trials?
And, well, here, I'm about to tie it all in the bow when I give you the title of the movie.
Okay.
Right. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
The title for this Die Hard prequel, starring Maze Runner, released in February of 2019, the title of this movie will be Die Hard.
Oh, God.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.
What a disaster. No, like, yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. Or they're going to call it John McClane.
I mean, John McClane would almost be a better title at this point than if they just did the thing that people do, which is to take the same, the Poltergeist thing and then take the title.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Either that or it'll be Die Hard : John McClane.
Ooh.
Mm. Just let that sink in.
Up, man. It's the worst.
Yeah, why do we do this? This is a waste of time.
Whatever, man. Reserve judgment. I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah, that's really nice of you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm tired of it, man. I'm tired of doing it. I've been that guy for so long. I think in this case I have to embrace the pessimism and the cynicism because it just seems hopeless.
I think what Fox is going to tell you is look at Mad Max. Look what they did with Mad Max. And I feel like Mad Max.
Yeah, the movie they spent 20 years making.
No, yeah, but my fear is that the logic is going to be that a lot of studios are going to try to mimic what Mad Max did for that franchise instead of, like you just said, acknowledging that, wait, no, this is a singular vision from a guy who's been thinking of this for 20 years and trying to make this specific project for 20 years, and they carefully cast it, and a lot of hard work went into it, and the creativity, and those words aren't making any sense to you, are they? Okay, make your movie.
Right. Exactly, yeah.
So, I can only imagine, that Mad Max somehow might do more harm than good for the industry.
Right, and, you know, the CGI augmentation, too, you know. They're not seeing that, oh, it was practical stunts, and then, you know, touched up with CGI, they're seeing that, hey, there was that CGI cloud, and the colors were really bright, so I guess that's what children love to pay money for, so let's do that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You know what would have made Mad Max Fury Road a lot better? Bookends of Mel Gibson talking about the time that he helped those ladies get away.
Extended cut.
I mean, I guess that's the hope for the Die Hard franchise, is for Bruce Willis to say something horrible in the news so that the studio can do nothing but distance themselves as they continue their franchise.
Well, you know, I guess Die Hard kind of belongs to him, but, you know, he's getting fired off of Woody Allen movies. You know?
Do you think Woody Allen was in the running for this?
To direct and star?
Yeah, he was going to be the villain. Freddy Gruber.